Wise people say you can never go back in life. But if you are fortunate, someone will help you remember your life forward. I don't understand it, Peter thinks as he's sitting at the charcoal fire on the beach. The fish smells sweet and good, and the fire is warm. With gentle waves rhythmically splashing to the shore, it is all like in a mysterious dream. And here, Peter is staring into the fire, reflecting. I was all intent on getting back to my life as I knew it. Doing things I know how to do. I'm a fisherman, and I don't like sitting around idle. Let others deal with what cannot be fixed. I know how to fish. So I went, and Thomas, Nathaniel, Jacob, John, and all the others, all of whom had no idea what to do next, they came with me. But we didn't catch any fish. Nothing was the way it used to be. I guess you can never go back. With the warmth of the fire in his face, Peter remembers. He remembers another charcoal fire. The fire that was burning on the evening on which Jesus was betrayed and captured. But this time, Peter realizes that it isn't night, and he also knows his stomach isn't growling. He just had breakfast. Yet, he thinks to himself, I feel hot, and I don't know whether it is the fire or my feelings of shame. Through the rising smoke of the fire, he remembers this young woman back then, on the day when Jesus was captured, pointing her finger at him. Surely you are not another of this man's disciples, are you? I said I was not. And even now, I feel her eyes penetrating the layers of my clothes, recognizing me to the core of who I am. No, I said, I don't even know the man. And here I am, again, at a charcoal fire. As the others recognized Jesus standing on the beach, I realized I have felt naked. Ever since that evening, naked and empty-handed. When I heard Jesus calling out to us, I almost wished I would drown in the water. And at the same time, I so hoped someone would catch me. I wrapped a garment around me, jumped ship, and somehow swam or was dragged to shore. Scared and unsettled, I did what I was told, dragging the fish to shore and bringing more fish to the fish barbecue. And my heart, it is like a fire that is hard to light, like coals that don't want to burn. And I'm blowing on the coal of my heart. Yes, it does not want to burn with love. Instead, there's my denial of Jesus, this unfortunate story of my failure. Yet here at this fire with the fish cooking, it is like my heart is hauling the bits and pieces of my memory like nets full of fish. Would that a graceful dream redeemed the past by offering a chance to repeat the past in a different and new way. Would that a story, a postscript could be written that turns my shameful memory into a possibility of a brighter future. What I need is a memory that helps me remember life forward. It was Søren Kierkegaard who spoke of this possibility of remembering life forward, of remembering and repeating in a fortunate way what happened in the past. This is what happens in this text. All the old stories that we know from the Gospels come up again, and we hear them in a new way, and something is added. They're like little pieces of fortunate repetitions. I picture how John, sitting next to Peter, says, "Good catch," as if he remembered a script. He had said it the exact same words when first they were called to follow Jesus on his instruction, and on his instruction caught so many fish that the nets burst. The nets were torn. Luke conserves the story for us. And Peter, as he now watches the fish on the fire, thinks, this is exactly what happened before. Only today, the nets didn't break. It's almost like we hauled in the fish today that were lost back then. And Jesus, he told me then, from now on, you will catch people. Yes, he had me fishing people. What will he have me do this time? Wise people say that you can never go back. But if you are fortunate, someone will help you remember life forward. Like the woman in the hospital room that I met one day, who seemed confused and unsettled. Tears were streaming down her cheeks. She was sitting next to her mother, who was dying a peaceful but inevitable death. I felt so bad for so long, the woman said. When Dad dies years ago, I never made it to his deathbed. I couldn't and I can't to this day for certain say why. He died alone. Maybe that's what he wanted, but I felt badly ever since. Her mom, breathing rhythmically, sounded in some future that was about to change. Now you're here, I say to the woman. Maybe you also want to call your siblings. Yes, I think this time we will get it right. It seems like we're getting a second chance, a chance to repeat the past in a more fortunate way. This time we'll stay until... Yes, I say, it seems like a second chance. And in the corner of my eye, I see a picture of Mother Mary with outstretched arms. God, I say to her, God embraces your mother and you. It is now possible that things change and are repeated in a fortunate way. Wise people say you can never go back. But if you are fortunate, someone will help you remember life forward. Back to Peter. This time I jumped, he thinks. As I hit the water, I remembered walking on it with Jesus. And just like then, Jesus had an abundant meal prepared. Peter, now sitting at the fire, breaks the bread like he has seen Jesus do earlier. And he passes it on. A piece of fish on top makes it a mouth-watering meal. And like in a dream, he remembers how he helped feed 5,000 people at this same Sea Tiberias. Back then, Peter mumbles, nothing was left of the fish. We gathered 12 baskets of bread, that's true. But no fish was left then. But now I counted the fish, 153 large fish. I'm beginning to get it. 153, that is 12 times 12 the baskets of bread that we gathered when we were here at Sea Tiberias the first time. And 12 times 12 plus 3 times 3, 3 times 3 is 9. That number symbolizes completion and fulfillment. Nothing is lacking in the kingdom of God. And we, as we sit here this morning, we are getting a taste of it. Bread and fish, communion and sharing. He calls us to the table, calls like a mother calls her children, feeding us, helping us grow up, and embracing us with warmth and love. It is like a never-ending Easter meal. Wise people say you can never go back. But if you're fortunate, someone will help you remember life forward. I'm not so sure, thinks Peter, if I'm ready to enjoy this breakfast. The woman pointing the finger at me, the other charcoal fire, and my cowardly, hardened heart. Do you love me like a child at the breakfast table? Jesus asks. And like a child, he says, say it 3 times. Do you love me? Needy and vulnerable, tough and pointed. Do you love me? This 3rd time, it hurts. It pains him deeply, and Peter gets sad. It is like he does not trust my love. Or is he trying to give me a second chance for my denying him 3 times? And working through Peter's denial, Jesus walks with Peter through the deadly memory and heals what was hurt. He doesn't say, let's forget it and let's move on. He doesn't say, I understand why you did that. He does not reject him either. Just asks him whether he loves him more than anything. Loves him enough to say it 3 times, sentence by sentence, step by step. This is like medicine in small bitter drops. I understand now, Peter thinks. The meal is about abundance and about communion. It is about recognizing Jesus in our midst, and it is about forgiveness. I denied him and denied myself. I need him not to tire of asking me whether I love him, asking me 3 times and every day. I need to say yes, how I want to just say yes. And I need him to ask me again and again. And as I'm able to say yes, the coals of my heart burn. They burn deep into the night and into the early morning. Children, Jesus says to Peter and to you and to me this morning, children, grow up, feed, take care, love, and tend my sheep. Since you now recognize me and you do love me, you know how to follow me and how to love my children just as I do. Wise people say you can never go back. But if you're fortunate, someone will help you remember your life forward. A fortunate repetition is this, a way of recalling, remembering, and gaining insight. And once we remember, we can recognize it everywhere. As we follow him, it is this fortunate repetition that we are to practice. And when we become the saints of the Easter light again, the saints that Jesus wants us to be, we are called and commissioned. We are called and commissioned today to become saints again. Saints who remember Jesus' life in everything that is and everything that is to come. Like the elderly man who was demented and after lying on his kitchen floor for more than a day was brought to the hospital. When I met him, he didn't know where he was or what had happened. In his confusion, he was so lost, so distressed. And sitting there at his bedside, I pictured what it must have been like to lie on the cold kitchen floor waiting for someone to come for help. I did not know how to reach him or talk to him. And since I was helpless, I began to sing, hoping that he might like the song. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Much to my surprise, he started singing with me. With a big smile, he seemed to remember the way out. When the saints came into his kitchen, marching to scoop him up, to tend to him, feed him, care for him. When we were done singing, he took my hand saying, God bless you, I love you. And God bless you, I love you too. Children, let us grow up to be saints in the light of Easter. Saints who go marching into this world, which is under God's promise. And having learned to love again, let us follow step with Peter, feeding and tending God's children. Amen.